This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2139. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 19th, Antarctica, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, Chile, China, Cuba, Egypt, France, Greece, Iran, Italy, Kuwait, Maldives, New Zealand, North America, Pridnestrovia, Russia, Taiwan, USA, Vanuatu, Marconi, WRTH, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, LRA 36 Antarctica has resumed its normal schedule, confirmed again on Saturday, May 14th, and Wednesday, May 18th, starting before 1500 UT for a variable length until sometime after 1600 on 15475.98. Reduced carrier USB as monitored via remotes in South America. Also monitoring via remote in southern Brazil, Zacharias Liangas reports the Brazilian pirate on 9289.93. It's Radio Araucaria. I'll spell that in a moment. Heard May 11th at 1538 with funny songs and an old time signal. They do have a website, www.radioaraucaria.com.br, which does not mention any shortwave, only FM 95.1. And the website seems to be dedicated mainly to being a form for making music requests, with photos and information about the disc jockeys. So that is spelled Araucaria, Radio Araucaria. In the British DX Club, Christian Gibaudot in France has some news about French stations on shortwave. He says RFPI starts 15 minutes of news in Russian over Bulgaria from May 15th, 2030 UT on 6005. He doesn't say whether it will be on every day, but I believe via WRMI their Russian is only once a week. The Chilean pirate, RCW, is mainly reported on 6925, but not this week, to other frequencies, says Claudio Galas in Chile. 3910. May 16th at 0100 to 0230, with music at 200 news from NHK. And 7610, May 16th at 1810 to 1830, with Radiograma, both with good reception nearby at his location. The Cantonese hour of Sierra in China relayed via Cuba at 04 UT on 9790. Puts in a huge signal aimed toward us, but it also had co-channel interference from Radio France International in French. That's direct from France, and it starts at 0400 until 0700, the last 2 hours in the clear. It's a huge collision, but since RHC is not in HFCC, how could France possibly know the problem? But Cuba is not finished with that part of the band. May 18th at 0632, the jammer on 9805, which is against nothing, as Radio Marti is never on that frequency at that hour, in fact, not on shortwave at all overnight. This jammer, however, was putting out splatter ranging from 9780 to 9835. Not only is the Dentro-Cuban jamming command incompetent, they also do not give a damn about collateral damage. Now, to be outdone in incompetence in another way, Radio Cairo is still in extremely distorted English, 9439.995, at least it's almost on frequency. May 17th at 2201, also putting hum, 30 over 9, into Holland. As Alan Holder quipped, something's always amiss at Abyss. But that does not do it justice. Rather, what I say, something's always egregious in Egypt. Be an improvement the next day, May 18th at 2225, when there was no signal at all. Another reminder to enjoy that great Greek music while you can from Voice of Greece, which may be terminated at the end of May, having got a 2-month reprieve. It's on the air only from about 12:30 to 17 UT on 9420. And that's Monday through Friday only. You may also hear some co-channel interference from China. I was listening on May 13th when Greece turned off abruptly at 16:55. Listening via a remote in Greece, Wolfgang Büschel reports a much odd frequency for Iran International TV program in Persian, 15629.835, transmitted via Uzbekistan. Schedule seems to be from 04:30 until 15:30. Wolfgang Büschel has also been monitoring Radio Kuwait, which according to the schedule in Alki for A22, would be on several frequencies at once. However, he says only a single shortwave transmitter was on the air when he was tuning around May 18th. On that date, instead of varying widely, English was exactly on 15530 at 0610 UT. Nice audio. And while music was playing, it was a broad signal showing on the screen from 15512 to 15545. The violently drifting transmission earlier led to a personal contact April 14th to the Ampigan Turgi Switzerland technician Bodo DF8DX, whom Wolfgang knows, in order to point out to him and ask for assistance to contact the Radio Kuwait technicians about this incorrect transmission. One day later, he said, although he was not involved in the renewal process of the transmitter and antennas in Kopt in 2015, when the BBC SK-55 type of the 90s were renewed and also erected some latest Ampigan design revolving antennas, he would contact Radio Kuwait to inform the technician department there. We are still hearing Voice of Martyrs Korea Maldives service on 11620. Just about any date checked, including May 6th, 9th, and 13th, between 1500 and 1530 via a still-secret transmitter site. It's mainly in Divehi, but there's a sign-on and sign-off in English. On the 13th, the sign-off started just a bit late at 15:30, overlapping Vatican Radio in Arabic from some other site. I looked up Divehi language in Wikipedia, and it says it's an Indo-Aryan language derived from the Sinhalese language of Sri Lanka. But despite the country's close proximity, Maldivians and Sri Lankans do not always understand each other. As for the site, Wolfgang Büschel was monitoring 11620.003. I think that was on May 16th via remotes in Japan, and he ran the TDOA direction-finding program and says, likely Tamshui or Paojung, Taiwan, relay site. But he also compared the signal characteristic to some other known sites. He says 10.6 kHz broadband audio block was visible on the Perseus unit, the same as Reach Beyond Australia, KTWR Guam, 2 times 5.3 kHz wideband, and several other sites had much lower signal level into Japan at that time, such as Armenia, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Oman, UAE, and Singapore. Brian Clark in New Zealand says, buried in the NZ government's annual government announcement, May 19th, is a grant for a new transmitter for RNZ Pacific. This is what it says. The government has also announced $4.4 megadollars for RNZ Pacific to buy a new transmitter to broadcast news across the Pacific, described as critical infrastructure. The transmitter is among plans for a new public media entity, which is set to start operating next year. Broadcasting Minister Chris Fafoi said the funding of the media entity would ensure New Zealanders could continue to access quality local content and trusted news. Stephen Luce in Houston, Texas comments, I had wondered how the impending reorganization of NZBC would affect its shortwave output, so this is positive news. Probably means RNZB can retire the worn-out 1990 Thomson transmitter currently used as a backup. I wonder if they will keep the 2006 Thomson going and run two frequencies simultaneously. It might mean the return of a full DRM alternative, and I'm curious what the power of the new unit will be. Josiah Elias, the Antichrist pirate under the name Station YHWH, has been quite active lately on his night frequency 7475. Much of this monitoring by Rick Martin in Arizona. May 17th, he says, he was on at 0300 UT. Eric Fetters Walp replies, I've heard the carrier since well before 0330 near Seattle. Now I can hear Josiah's voice at peaks at a barely audible level. It's getting more audible over the past 5 to 8 minutes. At 04:37, Rick Martin replies, "He's announced he is going long tonight, probably 1 or 2 hours at this posting. The signal is way up from before. Listening in the dining room now on a big German Grundig portable with an indoor wire." At 04:37, Walt Salmaniv in BC replies, "At 04:42, strong S9 plus 10 reception into Masset with, I believe, old programming. At least I'm sure I've heard this shtick in the past. I don't think I've ever heard him this loud before. Usual telephone quality audio. Static crashes minor at the moment. He was encouraging listeners to burn their flags. And after days of hard life, Josiah came back for his usual live portion. Left the air at 04:57, but with more static crashes. There was a curious reference to love to have feedback, and something about being hunted by the FCC. This is unlike anything I've heard before. Fascinating. I might be wrong, but due to the static crashes, I hope others were listening." And the next night, UT, May 18th, Walt Salmaniv says, "Tuned in at 04:30, Josiah is back, much weaker compared to last night with a lot of summer static, uncomfortable listening. Days of Hard Life at 04:44, now stronger, overcoming much of the static, and still going at 05:56, such a late hour is unheard of for YHWH. After another Days of Hard Life at 06:01, he came back and gave a local time check. He mentioned trying to get to the next, to the East Coast and Hawaii. Quite strong, but still troubled by summer static. And finally off at 45 seconds past 06:05 on 7475. Must be a record for length of broadcast." Rick Martin was monitoring at the same time in Arizona. "Tune in progress at 0400, usual stuff, but a live segment at 0450, when the operator complained about paying $7 a gallon for gasoline to run his generator on his Social Security income, and then into a planned 70-minute pre-recorded program. He mentioned he doesn't have a mobile or a computer. At 06:05, I love you and good night, folks," and he went off. The next night after that, May 19th, UT, Rick Barton in Arizona reports, 7475 YHWH, "In progress at my very late tune-in 0440. Way out in the mud, but fairly good by 0450, and reading a paper on Jewish perspective on the Messiah and Ten Commandments, admonishing us to burn national flags. Days of Hard Life and live closing announcement at 05:15. He said, I love you folks. Please excuse my attitude. Station YHWH is now going dark. Take care." And off the air at 05:22. Meanwhile, back on UT, May 17th, Walt Salmaniv added this, "The 41-meter giant blob is back. I didn't notice it while YHWH was on earlier, but checking now at 06:30. There it is between 7605 and 7655. So it's 50 kilohertz wide, clearly a digital signal. Interesting. Certainly nothing listed in the usual sources." Some reports from the MW List IOG about the transmitter site Grigoriopol in Pridnestrovia, or Russian-controlled Moldova. On May 11th, Marco says, "Some days ago, all frequencies were on the air. Using the Dorohoy SDR to check, 1548 and 621 are not on the air all the time. A shortwave curtain antenna with three masts was destroyed. The rotatable shortwave antenna shows burns but still stands. There are some other static shortwave dipole arrays there. Some of them collapsed years ago and the rest still there, and some people showed pictures of them." Mauno Ritla in Finland replies about Grigoriopol Mayak, "I have followed them fairly regularly, and I have noticed only those two longer outages for 1413 and 999 kHz. The first time the break was in the morning, and then also 621 went off. The second time it started after 1700, and then also 1548 was off. They can be heard with good signal here in Finland during darkness hours, and even daytime on carrier level. At the moment, May 11th, both 999 and 1413 are on the air. 999 kHz is stronger." And on May 12th, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria replies, "Today at 1950, all three, 999, 1413, and 1548, are with powerhouse signals. Of course, all three run 1 megawatt. According to my source in Transnistria, they are really using 3 1,000-kilowatt transmitters. Via Internet, long, medium, short, very short, ultra-short waves, and international vacuum, World of Radio 2139, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Financial support is very much appreciated. This time we got a contribution from Radio Dan in Ohio to Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. Those should be in U.S. dollars on a U.S. bank or money order. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Mike Cooper forwards a Reuters story, Dateline London. Russia's foreign ministry says May 18th it's closing the Moscow bureau of Canada's CBC and withdrawing visas and accreditation from the public broadcaster's journalists after Ottawa banned Russian state TV, Russia Today. Maria Zakharova, Russian foreign ministry spokeswoman, told reporters, "With regret, we continue to notice open attacks on the Russian media from the countries of the so-called collective West who call themselves civilized. A decision has been taken to make retaliatory, I underscore, retaliatory measures in relation to the actions of Canada." Zakharova said Ottawa had chosen what she cast as a Russophobic path, including censorship of the media. The reporting was by Guy Falconbridge. Ron Howard, upon a pseudo-Mar State Beach, California, reports about Taiwan. "For the past month, I've often been monitoring Fuxin Broadcasting Station, now regularly hearing all three frequencies, 9410, parallel to 9774, parallel 15375. On May 18th, it sounded like a language lesson at 0848 UT. I've consistently been hearing sign-off 0900 during weekdays, but not checking on weekends, so not sure if they have an extended one-hour schedule. 15375, with a good signal in USB, extremely weak on LSB, is by far the best frequency, and can normally be heard about an hour before I can hear 9410 or 9774. The poorest frequency is certainly 9774. Mike Cooper says the page he had bookmarked at the VOA website for frequencies no longer shows any. Is there any source for VOA frequencies on their own website? Bill WE7W near Rochester, New York, replies, "I heard from Steven Springer. He says he's looking into getting us more information. I suspect VOA has dropped maintenance on an overall frequency list, so I'm not holding my breath. I realize there are other sources, but they must get their info from somewhere. We've opened this can of worms. I want to know if VOA publishes an official source." John Filiozzi replies, "This situation is beyond ridiculous. It would take the persons responsible for VOA public info all of half an hour to assemble or edit this information." Then Mike Cooper says he did find a frequency page, but it's dated 2016. The lack of frequency info is not unique to English. The website in French to Africa also lacks any mention of how to listen on shortwave. On the WRMI website, I see some surprise additional times for World of Radio. They are UT Friday at 0330 on 7780. That's 2 hours after our first broadcasts at 0130 on 7730 and 5850. Also has been added Tuesday at 2330 on 9395. And that's 1 hour after the jammed broadcast on 9955. Also, please note, since May 20th is the third Friday of the month, World of Radio is scheduled to be preempted on IRRS shortwave, Friday at 1815 on 7290 and 1323, among others. So listeners there must be hearing us some other time, some other place. Also, as we'll discuss more in a moment, Radio Angela via WBCQ has changed frequency from 4790 to 5130, including World of Radio, UT Saturday at 0400. Yes, the 4790 frequency of WBCQ has been plagued by interference from CODAR, especially around the West Coast, and from what I've been calling Ute Blaps, some kind of deliberate digital interference, every few minutes or every few seconds. So from May 17th, WBCQ has moved Radio Angela to 5130. You may recall that was a frequency WBCQ used in the past before moving that to 6160. And so far, 5130 has worked out much better. No interference, but being on such a low band, there's still considerable storm noise in the spring and summer, which could have been avoided if they could only go to a higher band. That is for Radio Angela starting at 02 UT, lasting until 0410 on weeknights, 430 with World of Radio, and otherwise until 0400. And Uncle Bill is pleased with how well 5130 has been reaching beyond North America. After a World of Radio broadcast on WRMI 9395, UT Saturday at 0200, I heard an interesting program I had not noticed before called Cruisin' the Decades. It's based on a love of music and appreciation for the history of popular music recordings. It plays one song per decade, any song from any genre, from the 1910s, 20s, 30s, right up to the 2020s. So here, over 100 years of recorded music history in the course of 1 hour. Handpicked by Brad Savage of Akron, Ohio, where the show originates on WAPS-FM, The Summit. Two other airtimes for it, according to the schedule, are UT Sunday 0300 on 5950 and Sunday at 2100 on 9955. Various times by Ivo Ivanov, myself, and other listeners, May 15th through 19th, WRNO has been missing from 7505. It had been running all night starting at 0100. The last reports of it were from Ivo on May 14th. Well, this is not unusual. They sometimes vanish for nights or weeks at a time for no obvious reason. I wonder if it's technical or operational. The World of Radio I.O. Group, Ken Zicke in Michigan, says, what exactly is the digital data on the lower side of WINB's DRM signal, 15750? They broadcast audio in the clear, in the 5 kHz upper part of the 10 kHz DRM signal, but there is clearly something of a more digital nature in the lower 5 kHz. How is it that this is allowed in a broadcast signal? It certainly is not available to the general public. Ben Cobb replies, the short answer is, this has already been brought up to the FCC HF staff in a formal filing. What will FCC do with that? It is thought that something will happen this year, perhaps as soon as this summer. Will it affect WINB? Who knows? My belief, the FCC was previously unaware of the mysterious lower 5 kHz transmission. And since no one had complained about it or even raised the issue until recently, no inquiry was done. Will any enforcement actions be taken against the station for this obvious deviation from normal practice? Again, who knows? Broadcasting to the general public is the only service permitted by international broadcast stations. That is absolutely clear. Not only in FCC rules, but in the license document itself. Is this a transmission intended for the general public? Ken has answered that question. Walt Somenev in BC says, don't give up on WMLK. Just posted on their FB site May 15th. We are thankful for the great turnout at WMLK as we got together to wrap up some projects in anticipation of the engineer's arrival. We installed the negative pressure release system, tiled the PSM enclosure, isolated and protected the perimeter tri-bonding ties, and did a bunch of general cleanup. The commissioning engineers are scheduled to arrive Monday of next week, with the RF engineer arriving a week or so after that. We are thankful to Yahweh that He has moved on so many hearts to sacrifice their time to help to push this project forward, and for His continued guidance as the WMLK upgrade project nears completion. Yahweh bless you all, they say. And Walt says, so one never knows, keep an eye out for 9275 coming back. From Radio World, May 17th, by Paul McLean. Franken FM is on the agenda at FCC. Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel has released a list of topics for the Commission's June meeting. We're asking about preserving established local programming for radio audiences. For years, some low-power television stations licensed on Channel 6 have provided listeners local radio programming that was picked up on the FM dial, so-called FM 6 stations. These sought to maintain the service to their existing audiences after the LPTV digital transition by seeking Commission approval to provide their analog radio service as ancillary or supplementary services. Rosenworcel said the Commission will consider a proposal to allow these broadcasters to continue their existing FM 6 radio service, provided that they meet certain conditions, including interference protection and the provision of a synchronous TV service to consumers. You know, IGH had never heard them referred to before as FM 6, but certainly a bit classier than Franken FM. We'd been hearing Radio Vanuatu almost every night on 11835 from 06UT, the third harmonic of 3945, a surprisingly good signal. But Manuel Mendez and I noted that it was missing as of May 14th, 15th, also 16th, 17th, and 18th, but it's back on as of May 19th, first reported by me at 06:15, and also by Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil at 09:51. By then, he was also having good reception on the fundamental 3-9-4-5 and poor reception on the second harmonic 7-8-9-0. Ron Howard replies, I also noted it back on today, May 19th. Tune in, parallel to 7-8-90, back on the air from 09:30 with news at 10:01 to 10:16. But Ron says, with a rare anomaly this time, they had been very consistent with their closing format of national anthem about 1100, followed by open carrier dead air, leaving the transmitter on for less than half an hour. But on May 19th, they played no national anthem at all and continued with audio till off the air at 11:24. Mike Terry posted an item for this day in radio history. On May 13th, 2022, on that day in 1897, Guglielmo Marconi sent the world's first radio message across open water, and he did it while visiting a seaside resort in Somerset. Here's a reply from Donna L. Halper, Ph.D., Associate Professor of Communication and Media Studies at Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Without meaning to be a curmudgeon, it's worth noting that Marconi was a relentless self-promoter who often contacted newspapers to claim he had accomplished X, when in reality he had made the attempt, and it was not particularly successful. Many of his early wireless experiments were not successful, but he knew how to spin them in a very positive manner. Marconi was way ahead of his time in understanding the importance of getting publicity. He also understood what his competitor Reginald Fessenden did not. It's worth schmoozing with folks in the media, then called the press, like them or not, if you want to get good coverage. Marconi had lots of friends who were reporters. They liked him, and they covered just about everything he asked them to, and ignored what he asked them to ignore. Richard Langley replies, not to mention that Marconi also became a fascist. Still, Roosevelt called him one of Italy's great sons in a 1944 speech. For more surprising facts about Marconi, see a blog at oup.com, Facts Guglielmo Marconi, dated 2016-08-15. It's the Ohio University Press blog. Here are some of the 15 facts cited. When Marconi died, radio stations all over the world went silent in his honor. The Vatican Osservatore Romano reported that he had died a Christian death, but in fact Marconi declined to receive the last rites of the Church. Marconi built the world's first international shortwave broadcast station, Vatican Radio, which went on the air in 1931, a year before the BBC World Service. Marconi's company was involved in the founding of both NBC and the BBC. We had hoped that as a grand finale, the World Radio TV Handbook would be putting out an A22 update online. However, Nicholas Hardiman tells me, I'm sorry to say we are not producing the A22 update. It seems strange and sad not to be doing it, but we had to draw the line somewhere. I'm still having discussions with people who are interested in taking WRTH on, but nothing to report yet. Propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field expected to be at quiet to G1 minor storm levels on May 24th, with ANK indices peaking at 18 and 5, followed by 3 days of 15 and 4, also 14 and 4 by June 11th. Solar fluctuating as low as 136 May 27th and 28th, as high as 150 by June 9th. Thanks for listening. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2139 with a standard disclaimer.